Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The BBC recently admitted to a serious editorial misstep in its Gaza documentary, Gaza, How to Survive a War Zone, narrated by a 13-year-old whose father was a Hamas official. So while the BBC concluded that the script wasn't influenced and found no breach of impartiality, it did acknowledge a failure to vet and disclose the background. The lapse sparked a lot of concerns about transparency, objectivity, and the Gaza coverage in general. Joining me to unpack these implications is Kanandi Dorr. He's a seasoned journalist and at JNS, and he's somebody who has covered media ethics and bias in terms of the Israel-Gaza conflict. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. So let's talk about this ethical failure, because the BBC's internal review did admit to a breach, but they were quite careful about what they acknowledged. Did they acknowledge enough?
Right. Good morning. This was sort of a forced move by the BBC. The independent journalist David Collier in the UK found through just open source intelligence research that the kid's brother, the chief narrator in this movie, in this 50-minute documentary from Gaza, was the son of an official deputy minister in the Hamas government in Gaza. And then it was yanked. It was pulled offline in February. And an internal review was initiated. And what they found was that they basically threw their production firm, Hoyo Films, under the bus. They said it was their mistake. They knew that the boy was related to the Hamas deputy minister, and they should have let the BBC know. But they did act in good faith, because the production firm, that is, because this was a technocratic position and he wasn't a political or military leader in Hamas. And so it didn't even ring any alarm bells. It didn't even raise any flags that the boy was related to Hamas government there. But this was only the tip of the iceberg in the failures that were later discovered in this film. For example, the kid, the 13-year-old Abdullah, he was paid $2,448 for his trouble, for narrating a series. And you know, in the West, that in the UK, that may seem a reasonable amount for a compensation, but when you look at it in local terms, an average salary earner in Gaza would have to work 21 months to make this kind of money. And this is not pocket money for the boy. This is money that goes into the purse of this Hamas affiliated family. Another failure, but that was deemed fine. That was deemed reasonable without further explanation of why it's reasonable in the report. Another failure was that consistently throughout the film, whenever the people who appeared on screen said Yahud,
yeah,
Jews,
I was going to ask you about that.
It's consistently translated as Israelis. And the report also addressed this. It said that it would have been inaccurate to translate this to Jews, because the speakers did not mean the Jews as a ethnical entity.
So they interpreted not just language but meaning, and they decided what intention lay behind the language that they used.
Yes, because the BBC knows better than the Gazans what
right,
they are saying.
Right.
And so, of course, this report was received with it's an achievement. Okay, it's definitely an achievement that the BBC pulled the film and declared it not kosher, not fit to run. But at the same time, it also cements this ingrained intrinsic bias that the BBC has, that it will interpret the Palestinians' bloodlust and anti-Semitism according to its own terms. And it also completely ignored an ethical failure, basically paying a fortune in local terms to a Hamas-affiliated family.
I see that Ofcom is now investigating this. Do you think that this external review could lead to any real consequences for the BBC?
Look, in 2006 already, there was a massive report about bias in the BBC against Israel. It was an external report. It was, or at least it had external auditors. And since 2006 until now, throughout conservative governments, the BBC has managed to keep this under wraps. We don't know what was written in this report. And so it's, forgive me for being skeptical, but it seems unreasonable that under a Labour government, we will have any meaningful corrective action on the BBC when it comes to Israel.
The question here is not only, of course, about the BBC, but a broader media bias with regard to the BBC, but we also see it in other media houses like Sky, where we've seen some really, really poor things happening. Do you think there'll be any form of accountability across the board?
Well, right now, I think the focus has shifted away from mainstream media. We know that they're a problem to two things. The state-funded media, this is why the BBC matters more than the others, because this is taxpayers' money. And, of course, the independent platforms. You know, Piers Morgan has 4 million followers. That's much more than Sky at any given news broadcast. And there we're seeing total excesses of Holocaust deniers being interviewed. So I would argue that Sky and the other mainstream publications, for all their problems, we're still in good shape there compared to where media really is right now.
It's the BBC, just going back to them, whether they acknowledge this failure or not, or whether they limit it, because most of it they've put blamed on this Hoyo Films, they maybe acknowledge some oversight. The question is not maybe what they've acknowledged publicly, but if internally now they will be more cautious. Have we seen a shift at all?
I'm very glad that you raised this important point, because counterintuitively to any impartial viewer, actually, the BBC is under pressure internally for being too pro-Israel. There was a letter last month by 400 journalists and news people, about 100 of them from within the BBC. They all signed anonymously, the BBC people, not the others, supposedly to avoid reprisals or retribution at work. And they said that the avoidance of the term genocide, for example, and other attempts, feeble as they may be, by the BBC to paint a balanced picture, were basically kowtowing to the Israeli genocidal government. So I think it will be, if there's any shift,
it might
be in the other direction.
That is what we call irony. Kanan Lidor, that is where we do need to leave it. A journalist for the JNS, correspondent for Chai FM, talking to us about the BBC. Yes, to love and to leave you. I hope you found today as interesting as I did. We had some great conversations, great guests, and some fun along the way. Go have the best day possible. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late.